and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. I hope that you are having a phenomenal week so far and lots of great things happening for you. So today's topic is the 7 soft skills that will accelerate your career. Now, I was thinking about this morning on my morning run, and I deliberately, when I go for a run or a walk or sort of doing any sort of outdoor activity when it comes to movement, exercise, I deliberately try not to run with any noise coming in, any podcasts, any music, because I often find it's in these moments that I get real clarity or I get a really good idea or an episode for a podcast will come to me. But today I was really thinking on my run, what are some soft skills, or as I like to call them, critical skills that I believe could really help somebody achieve their career goals? And this isn't just for your career. This is just, I think, in life in general. Like if you actually worked on these 7 skills, I honestly believe that your life would also improve. Your relationships would improve. Your joy and happiness would improve as well. So these 7 tips, strategies, soft skills that I'm going to share with you today, I really hope if you implement a few of them, will have a really big impact. Because like I always say to you, I am also a work in progress. I'm always trying to be 1% better. I'm not aiming to be the best. I'm not comparing myself to other people. I'm just constantly working on me every single week and thinking of ways that I personally can be better, a better business leader, a better business owner, a better teammate, a better co-founder, a better friend, a better spouse, a better sister, a better daughter. So these are things that I'm always asking myself every single week. So I really hope that you enjoy today's episode and you get something from it. So 7 skills. Now, the first one has been a journey for me and one that I am really, really working on every single week, and that is active listening. Now, I'm naturally somebody that is, I guess I'm pretty extroverted. Like I do definitely feel uplifted and energized being around people. That's something that I know about myself. So active listening has been a real journey for me. And something that I know that when I do it, oh my God, I learn so much. I actually then take valuable information away that I can then implement into my life, my business, my relationships. And also on that note of relationships, what it actually does to improve your relationship as well. Because let's be honest, right? There is nothing worse than having a conversation with somebody that you know they are just not engaged. They're not listening to you. They're distracted. They're picking up their cell phone, or they're, you know, just sort of like typing away on the computer. Like this is just so important. Like when you actually give somebody your presence, when you are 100% with them, listening to what they've got to say, that person really feels seen, valued, and heard. I honestly think the best gift you can give somebody is your full attention, is your presence. And in a world where there's constant digital distractions, more and more, it's becoming more and more important, I believe, to give somebody your full attention and your focus when they are speaking, not just finishing their sentences, not just jumping in thinking that you've got all the answer, not thinking in your head how you're going to respond, truly listening. That is an absolute skill that I'm working on every single week. And this goes into all areas of my life. This goes into my clients, candidates, teammates, my business partner, my spouse, my parents, like my friends, every single person. When I'm with them, I want to give them my full attention. So active listening is absolutely crucial. And I think what's really helped me become a better listener is definitely practices like mindfulness, meditation, because again, I'm more aware when my mind has drifted or I'm thinking about something, I can bring my attention back into the moment. So it's just practicing. So Another thing that's probably really helped me, if I'm honest, is the podcast. When I'm interviewing people on the podcast, I really have to listen. Otherwise, I could miss key pieces of information and the conversation won't be as good. So these are just things that I'm constantly working on. But honestly, active listening, it is a skill and it is one to work on. It's one to really foster. So next time you're in a conversation with somebody, make a conscious effort to really listen. Don't cut in. Don't pick up your phone. Don't reach for a distraction. Listen. Really, truly listen to what that person is saying. It will honestly build trust and it will honestly improve your relationships with every single person in your life. So give people your full attention. That is the number one skill. The second skill is empathy. And this word gets thrown around a lot in leadership, but I honestly couldn't agree more. I think empathy is such an important skill. And more I'm seeing really amazing leaders get ahead in their careers and really build fantastic teams with this approach. So I guess empathy is, you know, seeing it from someone else's point of view, reframing it, you know, seeing it from people's different viewpoints. Like, and look, at the end of the day, everyone is an individual. Everybody has come from has different upbringing. We've all had different childhood. We all have different experiences. And that's what makes the world go round. Like, just wanting people to be like you or agree with you is just, I mean, what a boring world that would be. So really trying to come from this place of understanding, not just assuming something about somebody. Really, again, going back to active listening, really listening to what they're saying and putting yourself in that person's shoes. Again, this has been a journey for me. It's something that I'm constantly working on as well, because in the past, my leadership style has been, well, I'm sprinting, you better keep up. And if you're not keeping up, then I'm going to come and ask you why you're not keeping up. And actually, it was such the wrong approach. But I think as well, reflecting on my own leadership journey, they're probably the types of leaders that I've had as well. So again, a lot of things are caught, not taught. So when I've been working with other leaders who probably have lacked empathy, I have probably picked up on that as well. And then sort of, I guess, used it within my business and my leadership style, which I know is just not the approach I want to have moving forward. So this is something, again, that I'm working on myself, really starting to, again, see things from seeking to understand. I honestly think when you understand somebody, you can naturally have more empathy for them. You know, so if you've got someone in your team that, you know, is a single mom, for example, and you know that, you know, every single morning she's got to drop those kids at school and it's a real sort of like, it's a lot of work for her. And maybe she's a few minutes late for a meeting. Cut her some slack. Come from a place of understanding, like she's just doing her best. And I honestly think that is most people's, everyone's just trying to do their best. No one, I think, is deliberately trying to upset you or do something wrong. I think everyone's doing their best with their present level of consciousness. I think that's the absolute key here, is that we're all on this life journey. We're all trying to do our best. And when you come from that place of understanding instead of judgment, I honestly believe that is such a powerful skill to foster. And as the world speeds up, as technology continues to develop, it is, as I always am saying now, these softer skills that will really set you up for success. So empathy, definitely one to work on. The third skill is adaptability. Now, this is something I can't stress enough. Change is coming, change is here. There is not one person, one industry, one business that is not going to be impacted by the rise of AI, the rise of new technology. I honestly think it's going to be a very interesting next 5 years. And more people are going to find themselves in the job market. More people are going to have to upskill, reskill, relearn. We're going to have a very growth mindset as we enter this next decade and beyond, because AI is here. It's here to stay and it's going to disrupt everything and everyone. And if you're not ready for that, or if you're just burying your head in the sand thinking, oh, you know, it's not going to impact my industry, you are very, very severely mistaken. Like, it really is going to impact everything. you know, we use AI so much in our business now, like pretty much every single day we're using it for something. You know, I used AI the other day to help me filter through a contract. I popped it into ChatGPT and I said, look, this is a contract. Can you pick out the three, the key bits in here that I should be aware of? Boom. Within literally a matter of seconds, it highlighted a few things that I should look at. And then by the time I did go to the lawyers and said, hey, can you just read this? And these are the key bits. Well, that saved them time, me time, and money. So again, AI is coming. It's going to disrupt every single person on this planet. So I encourage you to read up on it, to play around with platforms like ChatGPT, to play around with other AI tools. Think about how you can utilize it in your business, in your work week. Make suggestions if you're in a technology team. But like every single client I'm speaking with right now, they're looking for people who have got some sort of AI skills or AI knowledge, because they really want to get ahead in this next, over these next 5 years, over this next decade. It's going to be the companies that innovate and utilize this technology that are going to make the biggest leaps. So be adaptable, be open to change, have that growth mindset. Change is coming. It is the only constant in life. And we have to just accept that. There's no point trying to hide from it or moaning, complaining about it. It is here. There's going to be huge opportunities for those that lean into this and go into it with a very growth open mindset. So have that adaptability mindset is absolutely crucial. The fourth skill that I'm really big on is just that positivity. Like, I know for me, when I get my best work done, it is because I'm in a really, really good state. I have noticed a big correlation with my productivity and the way I'm feeling. If I'm in a lousy state, or if I'm not feeling 100% like myself, if I'm feeling a bit off, if I've had a bad night's sleep, if I'm just, you know, those days we all have them where you just sort of wake up and something doesn't quite feel right. You just feel, oh, I don't feel like me today. And I had this the other week, and I woke up, and I normally wake up and I'm up early, excited for the day, doing my wellness practices, my meditation, my journaling, really sort of thinking about the day, visualizing how I want it to go, visualizing the future. Like, that is part of my morning routine. And I woke up and I just, my meditation was off. I felt off. I just felt heavy. I felt like flat, just not like I usually do. And it was really interesting because throughout the whole day, everything felt tough. I was finding it really hard to focus. I was finding that I was a lot more impatient. I was getting frustrated about things that usually wouldn't frustrate me. And it was really, really interesting. And at the end of the day, I was, again, sitting with my journal, I think it's really important to reflect. I was like, wow, like today has probably not been, or it's not been a productive day. And then I reflected, obviously, on my mood and how I'd felt throughout the day. And like I said, there was a really big correlation between how I felt mentally, physically, and emotionally, and what that equaled in terms of my output and my productivity. So I guess for me now, it's actually honoring that and recognizing that, okay, not every day is going to be a great day. I'm not going to bounce out of bed every single day and feel positive and energized. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should slap a fake smile on your face and just, you know, pretend everything's okay if it's not. I think it's just honoring how you're feeling and asking yourself a few questions of, why am I feeling this way? What's going on inside of me right now? Have I taken on a little bit too much at work? How's my family life? You know, have I checked in with myself enough? Have I spent enough time by myself? That's probably quite a big one for me. If sometimes I feel like I've got a lot of things coming at me and I'm not having enough time just to sort of process them all and enough time just to sort of think and be. For me personally, I really do need that time. I need those pauses throughout the day just to sort of process, think about what's going on, think about how I want to approach certain situations. That's really important. And I'd recognize I hadn't been doing that as much. But on the days where you're not feeling as positive and your mood's a little bit flat, honor that. Don't try and, you know, slap a smiley face and, you know, pretend you're okay when you're not. I'm not saying you do that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, park it, acknowledge it. That's how you felt that day. And think about, how do I want to show up tomorrow? Is there anything that I could do that could improve my move? What am I focusing on? Am I focusing on the things that I can control, or am I focusing on the things that are outside of my control? Am I worrying about things that are probably never going to happen? Am I obsessing about things being perfect rather than just making progress and getting things done? So really being aware of your state, and we all know what we need to do in order to make ourselves in a better state. So that could be a bit more time in solitude. It could be sort of getting a bit more movement in. It could be really focusing on the things that you're grateful for, acknowledging your achievements, spending time with those that you love, just taking yourself out for a dinner and just, like I said, having a few moments to yourself, getting around the people that support you and cheer you on, and acknowledging how you're feeling, getting a mentor, getting a coach, but really showing up every single day as the best version of you in the best state that you can manage on any given day is really, really important. And I guess even more so if you are a leader, you really, really have to try to self-regulate. That is absolutely crucial. Like, if you're coming in, it's all right for me if I have an off day because I work remote and I'm not around my whole team. I'm around, you know, my business partner, Pam, who, you know, we always have a laugh because if she's having an off day, I'm having an on day, and we'll just sort of, you know, help each other get out of our funk. But if you're a leader and you've got a big team and you've got to go in and you've got to execute, you really need practices to help you self-regulate. And coming in a good state, coming in with a positive, upbeat mindset sets the tone for your team. So you do not want to be an energy vampire. You want to be an energy amplifier, right? You want to come in, you want to bring the energy, you want to bring the positivity, you want to show up every single day as the best state and the best version of you. So if you're working from home, great, you can have your off day. But if you're working in a team and you've got to be in the office, really try and regulate those moods. Come in as positive and as upbeat as you possibly can, because it does really set the tone for your team. The fifth thing that I believe is absolutely going to be crucial when it comes to those softer skills accelerating your career is conflict resolution. Now, this is something that I think as leaders, as business owners, as anyone, whether it comes to our family, whatever, you know, there's always a bit of a build-up before something blows up. And I think what we need to learn to do, as well as resolve conflict, is be aware of the red flags that could lead to conflict. And the only way we're going to do this is by active listening, becoming really aware of what's going on around us, listening to certain tones, just reading between the lines, what's actually going on here. I think we could get ahead of a lot of things and nip it in the bud before it actually even gets into a conflict, right? So I think that's something that I'm really working on right now. And this all goes back to, you know, if you're having one-on-ones, if you're doing regular touch points with your team, if you're an empathetic leader, if people feel like that they can approach you. But conflict resolution is an absolute skill, but one that I don't think it needs to even get to conflict if we're really, really being good leaders. But let's just say, you know, you've got in a situation where a couple of members in your team are starting to have, you know, regular disagreements. There's a few sort of undertones, sort of things going on, or maybe there's a group sort of forming. You've really got to get on top of that. You've really got to be in a situation where you can go in and, again, listen, identify what's the problem here, and really sort of come up with a solution, right? But when I've dealt with this in my own business myself, I always try and deal with this. Okay, what are some things that we can all agree on, right? Like, that's the first thing. Let's get people on the same page. Okay, all right, well, let's just give people names. All right, Sue and Sandra, like, I'm listening. I'm sat here and I'm going to listen to both your points of view. But first and foremost, what's something we can all agree on, right? And just set the tone, just actually get them to be like, you know, yes, okay, we've got different viewpoints, we've got different things that we're working on or different ways of working perhaps, but actually there is always going to be something that we agree on. And I think if you can focus on that first and foremost, it kind of just like breaks down the barriers and makes everyone feel a bit more relaxed. So once they agree on something, okay, cool. All right, so what do we need to resolve here? What's the issue? What's actually going on? And having these candid conversations. But as leaders, as business owners, this is something we cannot shy away from. We cannot let these things go unnoticed because they will fester. And then people start taking sides. It impacts our culture. And then ultimately, if we have a bad culture, we're not going to have a great business, right? Because a business is only good as its people, and culture is a really, really big, it impacts everything. So conflict resolution, massively important if you're going to be somebody that's sort of really accelerating in their career, and definitely do not dismiss that one. So the sixth one is time management. Again, big one for me, managing my time. I've got a lot of things on my desk at the moment with things that I'm working on when it comes to Sister Club, when it comes to CH Solutions. But the key thing that I've come to realize over the course of my career and my business journey is that it's not just about time management, it's actually about energy management. And I know for me, I am my most productive in the mornings. So in the mornings, I will wake up after I've done my morning practices, I've exercised, journal, meditated, all those great things. Then when I show up for work, I know, okay, what is the most important task that I need to get done today? What's the one thing that's going to have the biggest impact on my business? That is what's getting done first, right? So that is protected. Nothing else is coming at me in those, you know, 2-3 hours, however long it takes me to do that task. I'm turning off my notifications. I'm putting my phone on do not disturb. I'm putting my headphones on and I'm getting myself in the zone and getting that done. And that is all scheduled in my calendar. So nobody can book anything in that. That is just 3 hours or however long it's going to take me of focused time. Because what I used to do was start every day without a plan, without any sort of management strategies, without looking at my calendar and blocking out time. And I was so reactive. I was on my emails, refreshing them, right, okay, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. And don't get me wrong, I was very, very busy, but I was not productive at all. Like, it was just chaos. My weeks were chaos. And when I really reflect back, I wasn't actually getting that much done. So now my diary is my boss. What's in the diary gets done. I'm very, very organized. I'm very on top of everything in my calendar. It's all time blocked. It's all blocked out. And I also let the team know, look, between this hour and this hour, I won't be available because I've really got to get this task done. I've really got to sit down and do this piece of work. So I'm out for those 3 hours. And then everyone's on the same page. That's the one thing I actually love about remote work is that when I really do need to get those focused tasks done, I do it from home. And then when I'm obviously in the city with the team, then that's more sort of strategizing, team building, thinking about what things in the business need to get done. But I am very, very big now on time blocking and really making sure that I'm getting the key things done each and every day. So time management is huge. And in those time management pieces, I'll also make sure that I block out times when I'm going to take some breaks, when I'm going to go for a walk, go and grab a coffee, whatever it is, right? But manage your time. Manage it well. Time is the one commodity that we all have equal amounts of. And when we use it well, we can achieve incredible things. So I'm not going to go into all the time management strategies out there because there's so many, but find out what works for you. And one final tip that I would just say, because I use this myself and it's been incredible in my business, is when I think about time management, I also think the activities within that. So there'll be activities that require more of my creativity, right? So like I said, I know for me, I'm more sort of creative and more energized in the morning. So I will make sure that those tasks get done first thing. Then outside of the creativity, there's stuff that sort of needs to get done that's probably more admin focus work. So that then gets sort of put towards the second half of the day because it's easier work. It doesn't require as much brain power. And then the third piece is just to be doing sort of more sort of making sure that I'm on top of my emails. I'm on top of my LinkedIn messages because that's where a lot of my business comes from. So I'll just sort of block it out in terms of like, okay, creativity, core business activities, and then sort of more administration stuff. So things that just still require my time and energy, but maybe aren't as, I don't need as much brain power for those. So that's the sort of three ways that I like to sort of think about my time blocks. But this is the creativity piece that I always know that I need full focus, full flow for. So I make sure that I do those on days where I'm going to have zero distractions. But manage your time well, protect it well, because honestly, if you have good time management strategies, you will absolutely accelerate in your career and your life. And the final soft skill that's something that I'm constantly investing in every single week is networking, right? If you get good at networking, if you get good at fostering relationships with people, your life and your career will never be the same again. I honestly believe that. And I never used to really, up until probably about 5 years ago, invest in my network. But now I invest in it so much. Obviously, I run events where I invite people that I want to see. I go out for lots of coffees, lunches. I will jump on Zooms, put in calls, text. I will keep in contact with the people that I want to keep in contact with. And those people are very intentional. And it is very much a win-win relationship as well. I'm very, very aware of, I don't just want to take, I also want to give. So what can I offer this person? What value can I bring to this person? And making sure that I'm always thinking about how I can give more to them than they can give to me. Because if you go in with that approach, you won't need to be thinking about referrals. You will have referrals coming to you. These people will open doors for you. They'll give you introductions to other people in their network. But investing time into building your network and building your inner circle and really keeping that tight is honestly one of the biggest career hacks I know. So if you're someone sat there right now thinking, oh, I don't have time to network, well, you don't need to be going to every single networking event. Waste of time. But what you could do is you could pick maybe four events throughout the year that you think, okay, these are industry events that I want to attend. These events are full of incredible people that I want to meet. And within those people I want to meet, their relationships I want to foster, right? You could also think once a week, who could I take out for coffee? Who could I buy a coffee for once a week? If you can't do once a week, do once a fortnight. You can't do once a fortnight, do once a month. But imagine if you had 12 coffees throughout the year with incredible people, right? And then you just stayed in contact with them over the course of the year. That is going to add up. Those 12 coffees could lead to, you know, your next opportunity, your next promotion, right? You never know where these interactions are going to take you. So I think it's really important to invest in your network, invest in people, because this is what is going to really accelerate you. So it's something I do every single week. I'm always grabbing coffees. I'm always jumping on Zoom calls. In fact, I've got another one in 30 minutes with an incredible woman who's probably going to be a panel speaker at our next event. And that's because I have invested in that relationship over time. Right. So key piece. So that is today's episode. They are the seven soft skills that I am working on myself every single week. I encourage you to work on every single week if you want to accelerate in your career. Do not neglect these soft skills. These are the skills of the future. These are the skills that's going to get you ahead, going to get you noticed, going to get you promoted, going to get you that next opportunity. So invest in yourself, invest in your softer skills. Absolutely crucial when we think of the future of work. So if you are enjoying these episodes, let me know. I absolutely love hearing from you. Thank you so much for those that have left a comment, left a review. I appreciate you so much. And I look forward to chatting with you again next week. And anything you want me to talk about, please let me know. I can't wait to hear from you. Have a phenomenal week and I'll speak to you soon. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you.